Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, what is it? That's the question the Israelites ask as they first encounter the manna that lay on the floor of the wilderness when the dew had risen into heaven. What is it? Looking from the immediate context that surrounds this lesson, it's awful easy to think that that question was asked with a little bit of snotty skepticism. Like when you ask children who are fighting to apologize to one another, "Sorry, sorry." Not sincere, but asking the question, "What is it?" In other words, "God, do you call this bread? Are you serious? This can't possibly be true. Are you just joking with us, Lord? We ask for bread and you give us this?" It kind of makes sense though, doesn't it? I can kind of hear their snarkiness in the voice of the Israelites as they first watched over the valley as the glory of the Lord had lifted and that fine manna lay on the floor of the wilderness. The text makes it easy to look at the Israelites and think to ourselves that that was their attitude, a kind of a snarkiness. After all, they are the very same ones that haven't been released from captivity from the Egyptians from 400 years of captivity. Now in the wilderness, we're saying we had it better off back there. Even after 400 years of grumbling, at least we had meat pots to eat from and we could eat bread to the full. But no, you brought us out in the wilderness to suffer and die. Well, keep in mind, it's only been about 30 days since they left Egypt. We're not talking years down the road and we're second generation Israelites. We're talking people that still had the calluses upon their hands. We're still probably wearing the jewelry that the Egyptians gave them when they left. These are the very same Israelites who had witnessed the 10 plagues of Egypt. They had seen the river Nile turn into blood, the gnats, the frogs, the boils, the hailstorm on fire, and all that. They'd seen it all. They'd been a part of the Passover. These are the people who had followed the cloud of God's presence in the day and the pillar of fire protected them at night. This was right in their presence. That they probably lifted up their sandals and looked at the bottom of them. There's probably still dirt from the bottom of the Red Sea as they passed through, as it parted before them. All of this had taken place. All of this was still fresh in their mind, but none of it was registering. They heard the grumble on their stomach. They felt the thirst in their throat. And they were saying, "Lord, that's great then, but what are you doing for me right now? Why don't you just provide for us now, Lord? What is this stuff you've given unto us?" But here's the thing. What if the Israelites truly were asking the question, "What is it?" out of genuine ignorance? I know it's kind of a hard leap to take, but leap there with me as I try to put the best construction on the Israelites' question of what is it? What if they really, truly didn't understand what they were looking at? Even after Moses and Aaron told them, "It's coming," they still didn't get it. What if it's not a snotty skepticism in their voice, but instead a genuine curiosity and a genuine lack of understanding? What if, after all, no one had ever seen manna before? This was a new gift that God was giving unto His people. And a "what is it" question kind of sounds like a good question to ask. What is it? What are we supposed to do with this? Make manna bread? See, but the bottom line of it is, the word manna in Hebrew literally means, "What is it?" Manna means what is it? So they were simply asking the question. Now I know a snotty, bratty, kind of incredulous history of the Israelites shouts in the face of having the idea they simply asked it out of ignorance. Because after all, these same people would later on say, we have no bread. Well, you got bread from heaven. And they go, we have no bread. And then they hate the bread that they have. It's just a matter of time when there would be the bronze snake in the camp because they continue to grumble against God. And there would be that manna that God so graciously gave unto them, they would quickly hate. The bread that literally kept them alive. How could anyone look at the Israelites and think to yourselves, these people, they need to be pitied? But this is precisely why I want to give you an honest facts that maybe, just maybe, they're asking the what if question simply out of genuine curiosity. But look in the mirror, are you and I any different? I know for a matter of fact that I'm not. I must confess that when I am, now that I'm so snotty and bratty and I seem entitled, so that to take such an ignorant stance toward God and grumble and complain that I don't deserve such treatment, I don't deserve the crosses in life, and Lord, I deserve much better than you give me. Actually, I wish I could say no. I've never done that, but the bitter truth is, I have. See, all of us bear crosses one way, shape, or form. There are all times in our life when things happen to us, we look at God and think to ourselves, how could you? What is this? Am I not baptized? Am I not confirmed? Am I not in church every Sunday? Am I not a disciple of Christ? Lord, why have you allowed this to happen to me? And there's times in our lives when we cry out in bitter ignorance toward God, in spite of all the things that He gives unto us. You see, the dirty little secret is that everyone, well, I should say no one, wants to admit it. We want to say, no, Pastor, you're wrong. Because I walk by faith and not by sight every step of the way. Oh, really? Are there times in your life when you question God's love for you? See, the reality is I could preach a whole series on this topic, but that's not really the point I want to make today. How many times have you struggled in despair and not recognized God's gracious abundance right in your midst? How many times have you missed or looked over or just plain ignored the fingers of God right in your very presence, simply because you're looking for or expecting something very different than what God provides, or something more grandiose, or something more powerful, or something more showy? I'm just looking for something else, God, not the basic ordinary, but something spectacular. How many times does God show Himself in the very real and very tangible ways and you just don't get it? You don't see it. You don't recognize it. Sad to say, if we're honest, it happens to all of us. It happens to all of us when there's nothing snotty or bratty about it. We simply just miss the gifts that God gives. We overlook them entirely. Maybe we miss it because we're blinded by sorrow. Maybe we miss it because we're blinded by worry, and that happens. Maybe we miss it simply because we're blinded to the things of God that are right in front of us. And we don't truly see Him for what they are. Maybe there's times in your and my life where we don't recognize Emmanuel, God with us. Well, it's truly sad and it's truly regrettable is the fact that we do this with things that we're already acquainted with. For example, it's one thing for the Israelites to say, "What is it?" with the manna. As I said, it was entirely a new and different gift that God had given. But what about us? Here we are, we struggle with despair, and then life gets tough. There are times in our lives where things kind of go sideways. There are times in our lives when things are all shaken up and things are beyond our expectation or our desires, and we turn to God Himself and we're looking at some sort of miraculous sign to prove that He really has a presence in our life. Lord, this road is hard. Where are you? Lord, I thought you said that you love me. Where are you when I really need you? How about right now? Don't you care about me? Give me a sign and let me know that everything's going to be all right. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've dealt with families going through times of grief or times of tragedy or times of just struggle in their lives. And, you know, as a pastor, I don't have a magic wand. I don't know if you knew that or not. I don't have one. I got God's word and all the sacraments, and I have the gifts that God so freely gives. And I go into these meetings with families and they're looking for something. They're looking for anything to make it better. When I start to share with them the words of Scripture regarding suffering and the faithfully bearing of the crosses that God gives us to bear, and God's peace that knows even in the midst of their suffering, and when I pray for them, you know, I share with them God's word that about being yoked to Christ and that His burden He gives is light. As I remind them that God truly does work for the good in all things of those who love Him or are called according to faith in Him. And not even a sparrow falls to the ground without God knowing it. And that God knows every hair that is upon your head. And as I share with them the reality of their baptism in the Christ's death and resurrection, when I begin to tell them about the reality that Christ is with them as their sins are absolved, and as I remind them that God has given us that bread from heaven that not only forgives our sins but also strengthens our faith, there are times they look at me and say, "Pastor, I already know all that. Pastor, I know all that stuff. I don't really need scripture or prayer right now. I was really hoping that you could give me something more, something that would really help me right now where I'm at." Even God-fearing Lutherans will sometimes not recognize the things of God simply because they're too busy looking for strength elsewhere. Well, before you and I get too comfortable thinking, "Well, thank God, I'm not like that," I want you to just consider for a moment how often we have despised or stayed away from the very gifts that God has given us. That God has freely holds out to us each and every time that we gather in His name. "What? What are you talking about, Pastor?" I'm talking about the gifts that Christ freely gives. "Oh, you're talking about going to church on Sunday." "Yeah, I am." "Pastor, you don't understand. I was tired. Dude, I stayed up late last night. I had yard work to do last Sunday. Kids had a soccer game or a baseball tournament. It was raining outside, for Pete's sakes. You expect me to get wet? Sunday is my only day off." This past week, I was texting one of our inactive members, as I like to do, trying to keep that contact with the church. And I simply asked him, I said, when am I going to see you again? And I kind of know them really well, and I kind of think it was more humor than anything else, but they said, when the fish quit biting. So I guess we pray today that the fish quit biting. So Pastor, what's the big deal? If you ask that question, you don't see it for what it truly is. How often do good Christians have great and new ideas about the church? The word taught in its truth and purity, where law of God is proclaimed without a fear or favor, and the gospel is so freely proclaimed to those who are repentant of their sins, and the sacraments are administered according to Christ's institution, simply don't seem like enough. Pastor, look around. That's all good and fine, but what about the children? What about the seekers who come here? What about the seats that are empty or the offering plates that are a little light? What about the church down the street that has the awesome coffee bar with twice the donuts Emmanuel does? What about them? They have grocery giveaways. They have laser shows. They even have a smoke machine. And let's not even talk about their awesome big screen TV. The word and sacraments of God are good and all, Pastor, but what about the things that make my heart flutter and bring more people here? What about the things that really work that would cause this church to grow? I think you kind of miss Jesus in that. Jesus' words weren't, go get a smoke machine and a laser machine and all that stuff. Jesus' words were simply, go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. And then he assures us that there he is in the midst of us all. It's sadly amazing that even the best intentions often make it impossible or to make Jesus completely unrecognizable. This morning, as you gather in this place, my dear friends in Christ, you come into the very presence of Christ Himself. I don't have a smoke machine or lasers, and I don't even have a big screen. I simply have the words of Christ and His promises proclaimed to you. You heard His voice that your sins are forgiven? Sure you did. And in a moment you are going to receive the very flesh and blood of Jesus Christ under the form of bread and wine. And there, the very bread from heaven comes down to not only forgive your sins, but to strengthen your faith as you make your way through life. As you struggle with the hardships and the losses and the pain and suffering of the world in which you and I live in, that's the comfort that God gives. Jesus' words are that I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. It doesn't get much clearer than that. Here is Jesus Christ in our presence. The crucified and risen Lord chooses to be present among you wherever His word is preached in its truth and purity. Wherever His sacraments are distributed according to the way that He commanded. Here Christ is. Do you see Him? Do you see the comfort that that gives in the time of suffering and loss? Do you see the comfort that gives when you're struggling with life itself? Do you see the comfort that gives when your health is failing? That your pastor doesn't stand before you with joyous platitudes. He simply points you to Jesus. Jesus, the bread from heaven. So come. Come, kneel, and eat the very bread from heaven that gives you life, and if you eat of it, you shall never die. Amen? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.